Auckland has entered into level 3 lockdown after a shock outbreak in the city after almost 100 days of no cases. This current lockdown will remain in place until Thursday the 27th of August, and the cases in the country appear to be linked to one cluster. Our Kiwi correspondent Oscar Perez from 95BFM joins us now to discuss. Good morning, Oscar.
Good morning.
Sorry to hear that you are back in lockdown. What is known about this new cluster?
Indeed, so there's kind of one, as you've noted, one big cluster that's originated out of South Auckland in Tamaki Makaurau. So it's all linked kind of towards one family and the business of one family and the movements of one family. And it's currently, it's gotten quite big in terms of the network so far that has been created around it, or web, I guess, cluster. So there's currently 69 active cases, and 49 of them are definitely linked, and 20 are still being linked. Three people are in the hospital, but the rest are at home or in managed isolation. So that's kind of the bare bones of it at the moment. There's been kind of various rumours or kind of theories as to how it could have emerged, but no one has any definite evidence as to where it has come from, even through genome tracing so far.
And so New Zealand internationally became known as this sort of hallmark example of sort of squashing the virus for quite a while. What is the feeling in the country with things looking so positive for so long and now this new cluster and lockdowns happening again?
I mean, it's quite interesting. As you said, I think everyone took quite a bit of pride in being that like gold standard of what's happening. And I think that we need to remember if we do the exact same thing again, we can hopefully have the exact same results. 69 cases, although it's a lot of cases, is still quite minuscule compared to what we see emerging daily in other countries. And so although it is a huge disappointment, I guess, for us that we were back in this state, I think everyone knows that what they need to do and that they can settle back into it. There is obviously a little bit of kickback around being like, oh, it didn't work, or the government's plan didn't work. But I think, obviously, there's only so much that you can do and so much that you can plan for when you're dealing with something like COVID-19. It's not a controllable kind of phenomenon in terms of you don't know when things are going to happen, how things are going to happen, and the definitiveness of how things are going to happen. So although people are frustrated at the government, I think perhaps it might be slightly misplaced. That being said, I understand people's kind of irritation with the government around what's going on, as it is an annoying thing to happen. But I think people are annoyed that once we got to normal, we're now back in level 3. And so they need someone to put that blame on. And I'm glad that it's actually gone towards the government as opposed to the families or people that have actually contracted COVID-19. Because although there has been some messaging directed towards them, there's definitely been a lot less than what could have been directed towards them. And I think that's a positive thing, that we remember that there's nothing really that they could have done unless they are to have found to breach the rules and breach what they were meant to be doing, that they could have done to prevent contracting COVID-19. But I think everyone as a whole is slightly more laissez-faire about how things are going. Everyone knows what level 3 is. Everyone's taking it as they can or as they will. Which is good, means less people are stressed, which I think will be a good thing for New Zealand, but also means that people are less savvy as to what they're doing and probably are doing some things that they probably shouldn't be doing. So it would be good if we can find that balance between not being stressed and breaking the rules.
We're speaking with our New Zealand correspondent, Oscar Perez. And Oscar, nearly 10,000 New Zealanders have had to live in motels over the past few months, and this is due to the public housing waiting list being up 50% on the same time last year. Who are the type of people that we are seeing on this list?
Yeah, I mean, so this is like the whole 50% up figures. Although it's really shocking, there are lots of things that have happened in that last 12 months that have contributed to this and continue to contribute to this, and COVID-19 is one of them, as well as general economic uncertainty in New Zealand because of COVID-19, even if it hasn't had a direct effect, as well as different things not being adopted. I think we can even possibly look at a capital gains tax not being adopted. But generally, people that go into motel housing or waiting for public housing, lower socioeconomic people, as well as those who are homeless or have experienced homelessness in the past, often placing these kind of housing, social housing essentially. And then it does disproportionately affect what I think we can call the usual suspects. New Zealand, pretty much everything, if you look into statistics, there's always a disproportionate effect on Indigenous and Pacifica people. That's not true for everything, but largely when you look at people that, say, if we look at incarceration, we look at housing, we look at poverty, all these statistics show up the same things, and they're all linked as well. So there's sadly no surprise that disproportionately affects older people, but at the same time, I think the plan working differently towards changing this. At the same, we do have this extended wait list, but we also have like record numbers of people, of houses being filled or houses being built for social housing projects. So although we may have a long wait list, if this government wasn't working at the current rate that it is, or a better rate than it is, which is what it plans to do, unlike some other political parties, the wait list will probably be even longer. So when we see an opposition party critique Labour and Green and New Zealand First, although New Zealand First supporters are not necessarily as noted on social housing, it is quite an interesting one because we have to look at the housing policy of the opposition parties and kind of understand and say, well, if you were to continue these schemes in combination with your proposed housing plan, we would have a longer list and we'd have less social housing. So although we can critique Labour and Green and the Coalition for not creating enough social housing or the list extending under their term, we'll also have to look at the work that they have done to try and prevent that list from expanding.
Oscar, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
A New Zealand correspondent, Oscar Perez there from 95BFM, speaking about what's been happening across the Tasman all this week.